May these words be pleasing to you, our God, our Redeemer. Years ago at a conference, before working here at Redeemer, I found myself in a little group of like-minded people chatting about intentional communities. A guy named Will was telling us about how he and his wife and kids had been living in a really unique housing cooperative for a few years. He was explaining how families lived alongside folks who had experienced some chronic homelessness that were in need of some long-term support. Everyone had their own private unit, there was shared community spaces, and there was weekly meals together. As Will was talking, we were all completely captivated and could not contain our questions and enthusiasm for this place. A while later, in the midst of our questions, Will paused, took a drink, and looked at his wife across the circle. He said, with a heavier tone than previous, "You know, guys, it's not always easy." His wife nodded slowly. She started to explain how they were currently working through supporting someone in crisis that had been living in the community, and it was getting really hard and draining on everyone involved. The mood shifted to a more somber tone, and we all stood there together, holding a bit of space. Will then spoke. "It's a wonderful community, it really is. It's just really hard sometimes too. But the reality is, I don't think you can experience the transformative stuff with people without going through the hard parts." Last week was Easter Sunday, and we were shown what real conquering looks like. Even death cannot contain the ways of Jesus. His teaching offer us life everlasting. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the Word was made flesh. Today, we continue in that Easter season together. And one of our readings today comes from the book of Acts, which was written by Luke. The beginning of Acts recounts how the risen Jesus spent about 40 days with his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God. From here, Jesus is taken up in a cloud, promising that he will return one day. So this is now a story about Jesus leading his people by the Spirit to go into the world and invite all nations to live under his teachings, spreading the love and the hope that God promises to all people. Thousands of people are responding to the apostles' invitation, forming new communities of generosity and worship and celebration. But unfortunately, not everyone is celebrating. Luke shows how Jesus' new family quickly faced hostility from the Jerusalem leaders, and we read how one of those scenes plays out this morning in Acts 5. One of the soldiers announced that the apostles had escaped jail and are in the courtyards again teaching about Jesus. They are captured and brought in to speak with the high priest, who basically says, "We specifically told you not to teach these things, yet you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Seems that the high priest and his crew have clued in that they are the antagonists in the story of fulfillment of God's promises, and they aren't very happy about being made the bad guys, nor do they want this new church to take hold in their land. But Peter and the other apostles reply in verse 29 to 32, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So essentially, they're making it clear that they won't be silent. The new temple of Jesus' community is fulfilling the purpose that God always intended for the Jerusalem temple, to be a place where heaven and earth meet, where people encounter God's generosity and healing presence. They are determined to continue to further that work. Most of you know that today is my last day. A couple weeks ago, my beloved coworkers shifted things around to have me preach one last time to you as your director of outreach. So I've been trying to think, what's the most important thing I could say? And all I kept coming back to was one simple thought: this work can be hard. And that's when I remembered that moment from long ago when Will stood there telling us about his incredible sounding housing cooperative that was doing extraordinary God-inspired work. And I remembered the look on his face when he paused to take a drink and give it to us straight. And I stand before you today to do basically the exact same thing. It's really wonderful work, this calling to the street that is woven into the very core of this community. And it's hard work too. Our reading today in Acts is inspiring to me because I bet you anything that those guys were tired. No one is a fount of unabashed idealism for very long, especially when their friends are being killed for proclaiming the good news right alongside them. But these early Christians were setting the stage for the future church. They knew they had to be brave. They knew they had to operate from a place beyond their heads. This was the work of the heart. I have a confession for those of you that might not know this. I'm a people pleaser. I have played the peacemaking role in my whole life. My natural state is to find happy compromises for just about everything. And if people aren't happy, I have to stop myself from going to some drastic extremes like sending them flowers or a singing telegram. So you can imagine that part of my vocational work does not come very easily to me. This whole speaking truth to power thing is not my natural state. But what I've learned is that being aligned with justice is not just for those that seem unshakable. We can all find our own way there with whatever gifts that we have. I have learned that bravery isn't something you simply have or don't have. It's a practice that needs regular exercise. When I speak about the work done here at Redeemer, how we are a downtown Anglican church that's also open 5 days a week for a meal program, how we walk the neighborhood with outreach carts, how we're prominent voices of advocacy in the city, how we do education with anyone from kids to bank tellers, and how this church community and its neighborhood funds the program and runs the program themselves, there is always enthusiastic awe and support and never a lack of questions or excitement. And this is, of course, really excellent. This work is awesome and should indeed be recognized and celebrated. But also, we know what it really takes, don't we? The commitment to orient ourselves toward the marginalized in our city comes only because a bunch of people here are doing a bunch of hard work and working from a place beyond their heads. They're working from the heart. And here's the thing about work that comes from the heart. When we are acting out of our joy, out of a place of giving a gift simply because that tremendous gift of life that has been given to us, this work is not just a bunch of struggle and hardship with a few glimmers of joy along the way. I would argue that if that's how we see it, we are operating from a place of scarcity. The hard parts are challenging, yes, of course they are. There will always be trials and tensions and challenges along the way. But our commitment to this work together comes from a deeper place, from a place of joy, of gratefulness, and of living sacrament. So what does this look like in the flesh, day in and day out? Well, I've been bearing witness to this for 10 years now here at Redeemer, so I can tell you a bit. It's the Redeemer music staff staying after choir rehearsal Thursday nights, helping someone get a tent and a meal at the end of a very long day when they could have easily just slid out the back. It's the caretakers going above and beyond for people coming to the door at all hours of the week, making sandwiches on the fly. It's a volunteer texting me before a procedure from their own hospital bed to make sure that we know that they left the carrots in the freezer. It's parishioners who might be seeking a reflective evening service on their way to church, but upon arrival, realize that someone is shuffling around and maybe talking to themselves in that space. But they then put their own preferences aside that day to help ensure that that space is safe and welcoming for all. Because of your desire to see the Word made flesh, Redeemer will always have a larger cross to bear when it comes to grief and heartbreak. There will be more funerals at this church than most because of your engagement with the poor. The Redeemer team is quick to ensure the same dignity and care go into each and every celebration of life, regardless if that person lived in a penthouse or on the street underneath it. Because of your deep desire to see the Word made flesh, parishioners here live and breathe this work, and you allow it to spill into your everyday lives. I have received countless calls over the years from parishioners standing on a street with someone in need, wondering what could be done, how they can help. I have seen generous financial gifts for the Common Table come from folks living on very constrained incomes. I have seen many of you willing to drop everything if I reach out and say, quick, I need some help. All of a sudden, a task that I felt heavy for me to carry becomes light. I have witnessed these things time and time and time again. This is a group of incredible and imperfect lovers of Jesus. Some of us are people pleasers and have to psych ourselves up to be brave. Some of us might be addicts and have to remind ourselves that every day is a new day. Some of us have devastating health diagnosis. Some of us carry some pretty big emotional wounds and don't exactly know how to manage that. Some of us think we failed our kids. Some of us valued money above all things for so long that we now find ourselves quite lonely. Some of us have regrets. Some of us have no idea who we are or why we're here. And some of us, like Thomas in our gospel reading today, have many more questions than answers. But here's my point. Those apostles in Acts were people like us. They weren't perfect, but you know what they were? They were persistent. No one was about to keep those apostles out of that courtyard sharing that good news. And it's that persistence that shaped the church for thousands of years to come. The Redeemer community is persistent. Over 30 years of not only feeding the poor, but journeying with the poor, despite your imperfections, despite the hurdles that come your way, your persistence is why the Word is made flesh at this corner. I leave my role as Director of Outreach here today. Your witness to me has taught me how to be persistent, despite my own shortcomings. You have given me the space to be a small part of a growing and shaping God's work here at the corner, and for that I cannot be more grateful. And in the future, you will have some days at Redeemer that might be more stressful than it would be if you were at a different, perhaps easier church. Maybe it will involve someone yelling out during a service or someone who helps themselves to every sandwich at the hospitality table. Maybe it will involve sitting with someone on the front steps long after you intended to leave, or scrubbing the stone on the side of the church in an attempt to get some paint off a wall where someone felt the need to get creative. Maybe it will involve larger expenses than anticipated. And one day, when you're standing in a group of people at an event and someone says, oh, you go to that church on the corner. That's awesome. They have a really incredible social justice approach to their work. You'll pause knowingly and you'll say, yes, it is an awesome community. It's also really hard work, actually, but it is indeed very worth it. And your persistence will bear witness to the Holy Spirit, just as it did with the apostles. Your persistence will make God's word come to life. Redeemer, on my last day, I will close with a blessing from me to you. May God's grace, peace, and love surround this corner always. May your creativity never cease. May your tired days give way to opportunity of celebration and hope and restoration for the poor and the oppressed in our midst. May you always access the ability to do this work from a place of joy, abundance, and love. May you never lose your spunk and sense of humor. May your spirits be cared for, and may you love each other well. And may you continue to be persistent until God's kingdom come. Amen.